2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Nightside. This is the Nightside Project.
I may be super.
I am no hero. Nightside on KSL.
A limited edition summer season.
You realize, though, Alex, this is just temporary.
Yeah, I still took your parking space and I'm not giving it back.
The Nightside Project with Ethan Millard and Alex Carey. Streaming live on Alexa and on KSL News Radio at 102.7 FM.
All right, welcome to the Nightside Project. I'm Ethan Millett. I got Alex Keery here. Thanks so much for grabbing this episode. We really appreciate it. We really do. It's these are fun to keep going with. And Alex, did you hear that I hosted Inside Sources
one day
last week? Yeah, an hour.
Why don't
just
you like call me? Like, you know, I work in the same building, right?
I know that, but I kind of got the impression that they didn't want to wake you up because it was like 11.
Oh, it was 11. Okay. No, you know what I'm doing? I'm actually teaching your kids about school stuff because, do you guys go to school?
So, yes and no. So, my children are in three different schools, an elementary school.
Oh, that's right.
And secondary. A junior high school and a high school.
Yes.
And they have three different schedules and three different coronavirus policies.
You know what?
And I'm not saying that to criticize. I actually think that the schools my children go to.
No, you're saying it to brag. You're saying it to brag about, we just have three different schedules trying to juggle over here. Oh.
I honestly think that they're doing a great job, and I do believe that they are just trying to do their best. The high school that my son goes to, they've really impressed me quite a bit because Brighton High School, not only are they going through the coronavirus, they're also going through a complete tear down and rebuild on the school.
Oh, they are. Yeah, I've seen that. Yeah.
My son is going to school in a building that is only half built, and another building that is halfway torn down.
So he's got the possibility of COVID-19 or asbestos.
Or fatal fall, something falling on him.
Oh, yeah,
nail gun. I mean, there's a thousand things. Yeah,
sure.
There's a thousand things. But my point is that are my kids going to school? Yes and no. Brighton has been on a 2 week online only run that ends on Wednesday. Cross our fingers.
Yeah, let's hope. Honestly, we've had a lot of that then.
Yeah, my daughter's elementary school. They just switched to Fridays at home, so they're only 4 days.
Yeah, so that's what we do. We do the 4 days. We went from 2 days to 4 days, which has been great.
Oh, see, we went from 5 days to 4 days. That was just like a week ago. And then the junior high.
What are they doing on Fridays though? Are they saying don't do anything on Fridays? Like, hey, everybody take a break, or is it like catch up day, or is it like because like my kids on Fridays they just get a full like slate. They still send all this work home with them, and it's like, okay, get on a Zoom call at 9 a.m., get another Zoom call at 10 a.m., we're going to be doing this. So they're still doing like the full – but I know some school districts that are like, and we just have fun Fridays. Everybody gets like a sleeping bag, and we just take a nap.
I think – oh, man, I'm trying to think here, and I may be getting this wrong, but I think it's the high school. When my son starts going back to high school, they're going to do the Fridays at home. But what they're doing is they're using it as like a work day, like a study hall day.
I think I might be wrong about that. Highland High School does like a – because our friends still live there, and they're like, yeah, they do – I mean, they're all online, right? But Wednesday is like a – they're not getting online learning. They're just like, hey, catch up if you need to. And it's like you're in the middle of the week. It's kind of weird. Yeah. And so one of my friends, he's like, yeah, my kids, it's Tuesday night, and they're all, anyway, don't have school tomorrow. Peace, Dad. I'm going to go over to so-and-so's house. And you're like, what are you talking about? It's a Tuesday night. Yeah. Tell me what you think. Are we going to, like, lose this generation, like, of, I don't know how this works. Because there is going to be a whole new sense of, like, what expectations are. Because we operated on the whole thing of, school is the most important thing that's ever happened, and if you're not in it every day, and getting good grades every day, that's the base, right? And now we've just basically gone to, hey, listen, sometimes we go to school, sometimes we don't, and your teachers, sometimes they are engaged, and sometimes they're not, and also maybe you don't hit those benchmarks this year, and that's okay. Like they're like fine with everything, and I don't know if we're just kind of a lost generation of kids. I'm not.
I don't know.
They're like, hey, welcome to. I'm going to start my own school, and maybe your mom can help me out with this. But mine's going to be just called. And I want every man to feel comfortable there. It's not going to be like Mountain View. You know, it's not going to be any of those. I'm not going to come up with a Pioneer Crossing High School or anything like that. It's just going to be Mike's Alternative School.
Not Pioneer Crossing Legacy.
Legacy High School. It's one of those alternative. Mine's going to be an alternative high school. Mm-hmm. And which, you know, those get a bad rap. Ours is alternative because we actually are going to be learning. That's the alternative part of it.
Yeah.
Okay?
You know, I do think that one of the things that we're going to discover that there was a lot we didn't know about it that is in education as well. I do think education is not going to come out unscathed. We're completely changing the way we do it, and we're going to discover that, oh, wow, we can do it this way, and it'll be fine. And you know what? Maybe that should be the name of your school, the It's Fine School.
Hey, it'll work. Fine. It'll all work out. We just call it B-minus high school. Like,
you're fine. Everything's fine. It's okay.
Well, what's weird is we told this entire generation, like, you are, I mean, listen, you better buckle down. And again, like we were saying, every year benchmarks were getting higher and higher. The standards were much higher than when you and I were in high school. Am I right? Like, my kids are doing algebra, not because they're smart, just because that's like the new thing in like fifth and sixth grade now. And
you didn't have to memorize War and Peace.
That's what I'm saying is that now it is for sure. The benchmarks were getting higher and higher and higher.
My daughter
and now
hasn't
we're just
touched
stepping it
Dostoevsky
back.
Yet. And I just
the Walt Whitman poems have not been memorized at the clip
10.
That we've been yeah.
She's already 10. I don't know when they think they're gonna get to it.
So I'm just wondering how long this is gonna last of like because there is irreparable damage already to my son Harvey, who is just like he thinks we can basically cancel anything because we've canceled all of it. Like, and now we're not going. And what's going to happen then? What's going to happen? Oh, I can't take the SATs. Boo-hoo. No one takes them anymore. And then, like, no one. Now, how many schools came by? Ethan, do you remember how ridiculous? They pounded it into our heads. ACTs, SATs, ACTs, SATs. And now they're like this. Our school, we'll just take, like, just send us like maybe try to write the alphabet backwards and forwards and then just mail it to us.
Give us two more paragraphs on your essay.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like they lower the standards and then our kids.
And one more reference.
And our kids and our kids, that stuff's imploding. Like we have started to see that this institution that you and I grew up with, the fear-based like ACT, think about the essay. Like when I was in high school, it was pretests and paying for courses, and it was taking a retest of that, taking a practice test this weekend. Hey, we're going to do another practice test. We're going to do another practice test this week. What'd you get on your PAC? What'd you get on your pre-ACTs and your pre-SATs? And now it's a joke. All of it was a joke. It was fake. And now I feel bad for Kaplan or whoever all the people are that sell all that garbage because it was a massive racket.
Maybe this is an opportunity. Maybe this is an opportunity to moving forward.
You and I should start our own benchmark test that we can make millions off of.
We may as well. We're the new standard. Mm. We have new standards.
Yes.
Right? I mean, we have a new perspective on
That's
things.
Exactly right.
And I think that we should just expect it to be better.
You know what mine's going to be? And this is going to be my portion of the test. You come up with your own portion, and it's going to be it should be the ENA, the ENA testing. Have you taken your SATs? No. I took the ENAs. Oh, okay. How'd you do on your cursive portion? I'm going to have a huge cursive portion of the test. You've got to know cursive. Mm-hmm. You've got to read it and write it really well, and you'll be graded on it. So
my portion would be this. It would be one multiple choice question. How much of War and Peace have you memorized? A, all of it. B, most of it. C, not very much of it. D, none of it.
D, I'm ready for blue collar work the rest of my life. So I want to bring something up here, Millard, before we get off track, because the most important thing is not our kids' education, but our entertainment, our personal entertainment here in the homes. We talked a little bit about this. Remember in May when we were still on the air and we were talking and we were joking about it, but Tom Cruise, the plot or the movie, you know, it all came up about him possibly shooting in space, right?
Yes.
Right.
Oh, yes.
You remember
that
whole
thing? Story of 2020.
It was amazing. It was like, I couldn't believe it. Oh, Tom Cruise was going to, you know, they're thinking about going up and figuring out a way to film in space. And then a lot of people were like, that's actually not true. They might try to send him up there as part of like a promotional thing of like, oh, he was in space. And maybe he'll shoot something on his iPhone. Ethan, And I saw it a week ago, and so I was like, this is insane to me, and we have to talk about it. Tom Cruise will lift off from Cape Canaveral as part of the first movie to be the first Hollywood movie to be shot in space, and it is official. It is going to be on a SpaceX flight.
Oh, that's phenomenal!
And they're going up, and he and it looks like a Tom Cruise and director Doug Liman and another actor to be named later will launch in a Crew Dragon capsule. And they will fly up on this Falcon 9 heavy rocket, and they will land on the International Space Station. Ethan, I hate Tom Cruise as much as the next normal person.
Why?
Never mind. But I can't tell. We dial in and watch just like the most people who have no personalities, and they're just 100% scientists. And when they're docking, like when SpaceX launched the last one up there, I was. Absolutely, I was getting my kids in the room, and we were watching it for like hours straight.
Yeah,
because we had nothing else to do because everything was canceled. So we're watching it, and I was watching it like, and SpaceX, go ahead and hit latch four for process 9, and that takes 43 minutes, and that was just like to get them like unhooked and all these things. And we watched it when they first came into the module, and they hugged each other, and everyone high fived. I was like, this is amazing. And my kids are watching history. We will watch an A-list actor now do it. Come, I guess they just said in 2021. They said the beginning of 2021.
So could you imagine having Tom Cruise's calendar in front of you? And just knowing the things that you're going
to
do.
Jump out of this plane, go to space. It just says go to space, and it's one of those long lines that goes through 3 different weeks during like January.
Yeah,
yeah. So they're going up to shoot it. They haven't even verified if it's part of the Mission Impossible series or not.
See, this is the thing that's so phenomenal about Tom Cruise.
They're just like, we're going up. What are we shooting? I don't know.
it's so phenomenal, and he's kicked butt so much in this career of his. And I mean, there's no one. No one can touch Tom Cruise in terms of a career, in terms of the things that he's done,
sure,
the things that he's experienced. I mean, it's just so phenomenal. And I mean, his accomplishments are, people think I'm tongue in cheek with Tom Cruise. People think when I say America's greatest living actor, they think I'm joking. I'm not joking. They think I'm doing a little wink. I'm not winking. I mean, you cannot show me another actor that has the breadth of experiences that this guy's had.
Well,
it's just amazing.
He's going to be going to space, and they're shooting a new movie.
But think about it if you had Tom Cruise's calendar in front of you, right? So I shared with you my experience flying on SkyWest to St. George.
Yeah. No, but that's how Tom Cruise started, though, too.
I practically couldn't sleep for days. I was like, oh, I can't believe it. Going on an airplane. I was like...
That's actually how he got his start on a SkyWest flight. Yeah, you're on your way there, dude. Yeah.
But if you could just imagine that the next 18 months or whatever, you were doing astronaut training. And then you were really going up in space. How do you even process that?
So here's what it says. So here's why it came up is because they have to make kind of known what the plan is, I guess, because there's some public funds attached to it somehow. So anyway, there is a tweet from the Space Shuttle Almanac account, and the account tracks the calendar for Cruise flying up to the International Space Station. And there was a tweet that showed Cruise is scheduled on a SpaceX flight along with the director. But this is only made possible. Look, hate on what's his name? Tesla guy. On Elon Musk as much as you want. But the reality is that this kind of stuff was never possible. And he just shoved his way into this segment of we're going to have the access to public flight. And they said the crew flight is under Tourist 1 and Tourist 2. That's the crew that's listed on there. Tom Cruise, Tourist 1 and Tourist 2. And they have an actual... You know, former NASA shuttle pilot Michael Lopez Alegria, who is going to be flying it. So there you go. Yeah, but they didn't say they even mentioned it will not be part of the next installment of Cruise's Mission Impossible, which of course is what I would say if I was shooting it for Mission Impossible. So you want to keep some stuff under your hat.
They would say that, wouldn't they?
Yeah.
I can't wait for the next Mission Impossible.
I thought you'd be pumped about it.
Oh, I'm so pumped about it. I can't even believe it. And I saw this crazy video on Twitter and it was these people. And I didn't dig too deep into it to see exactly where it was. But is these people are driving on the road and they're driving alongside a train. And there are these people, they got their phone out, they're filming. There are these people on top of the train carriage. And as they get closer, it's Tom Cruise. He's sitting there, he's waving to him. He's dressed kind of all black,
right?
You know, the tactile neck
shirt
kind of thing, you know?
Tactile neck.
And then
yeah.
There's some other guys. Everyone's just kind of lounging around. They're obviously between takes, but this train is moving along next to the highway. And there's Tom Cruise, he's waving at him, but he's probably tied to the train, you know? And then there are these other guys in costumes like Special Forces costumes, things like that. There's a guy up there with a camera sitting down, all these things. I thought, what this guy,
yeah,
this guy, and they're just running along the road and he's waving at the people. Phenomenal.
Wild.
Just phenomenal.
All right,
I mean, no one like it.
Let's take the break here. You said you have a Zen headline when we come back.
Yeah,
is that right?
Alex, I always have a Zen headline because I want you to finish your day happy, finish your commute happy. When we come back, a Zen headline, it's my treat.
All right,
my gift.
We'll come back. Ethan just last week was hosting a show on KSL News Radio, and here he is now being all energetic. We'll be right back.
I know, can you believe it?
Two friends taking pictures of the rising full moon on a summer night.
Two teenage kids doing what teenage kids do.
When a stranger with a gun and a death wish changed everything.
It was violent, it was senseless, and I will never understand it, I will never accept it.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and unfortunately, we're all too familiar with stories about how violence shatters lives. But what we rarely see is how they are rebuilt. In a new podcast, The Letter, we relive tragedy, but only so we can hear the rest of the story. The struggle to reclaim lives, the realities of grief, and the possibilities of forgiveness.
I believe in miracles. Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back.
Yep.
Ethan Millard, Alex Keery. It is the Nightside Project podcast. You can download the podcast wherever podcasts are found and then podcast your way into podcast history. I'm starting to see more human faces around the station here, Ethan.
Oh, good. I was not one of those when I hosted.
You did it from home?
Yeah, I did it from home.
Sitting
right here.
You did it from that box and everything?
Yeah, I did it right here. I hosted an hour of Inside Sources. I think they just...
Which is weird. After all the trash you talked about Inside Sources before, it's fine. Go ahead.
I think that they want... Well, I think what they want is they wanted me to do a little training, a little host training with Boyd Matheson. Just, you know, help get him up to speed on the expectations.
Yeah, no, that's good.
You know
that's
how
good.
To do it.
What did you talk about, by the way?
I talked a little bit about sports.
Okay.
And I talked about the reasons why you shouldn't watch the debate. It was just before the debate.
Oh, that's funny.
Two before the debate.
Boy,
so
you know what? You were ahead of your time.
I know. Hey, I stand by it.
What are the reasons you gave? They were not nearly as apparent as they were the night that people actually tuned in and watched it or listened to it.
Reasons for this. This election is tearing families apart. So focus on a family because everyone's decided how they're going to vote. So let's start repairing because these campaigns are asking too much of us. And the media is asking too much of us by asking us to constantly focus on it. And it's reached a point where it's wrong now. And that's the point that I made.
Let me ask you about this. Because we're like, and we don't really tackle politics very often, but we can do it because it's who cares?
Sure.
So I was reading a thing today about because President Trump was released this, as we're talking about this, he was released this afternoon from Walter Reed Medical Center, and just watching my wife and I, we tuned in and watched the doctors updating. I think it was on Sunday morning. It was yesterday. It would have been yesterday morning. About his condition, and they had kind of his team of doctors out there. And it was weird because his personal physician doesn't feel like he's a physician. He feels like he's just another, like, press guy.
Yeah.
He's out there talking, and it was just, like, really interesting. And but I have a friend who's a doctor who's he got his medical degree from Cornell. So he's kind of like you do that, you can brag about it, right?
Sure.
But he saw on his coat that it said D.O., and he was like, ugh, he's a D.O.? Ugh. Like he was like kind of he was kind of poo pooing that he wasn't an MD. He didn't get like the traditional medical degree. He didn't get his MD. He got a DO, which a lot of physicians are. They're DOs, but they're
what is, I don't know what a DO is.
Yeah, there's a difference. And
doctor of optometry.
Doctor of what is it? It's like osteopathy. It's something. It's
osteopath. Yeah.
Yeah, it's osteoporosis. You can get it when you're older. No, yeah, I think it's I think it's doctor of osteopath. Anyway.
Yeah,
It's just it's a different set. It's a different thing of training. But I don't know the difference.
I don't know what to think about all this because they've been giving conflicting information, right? The White House.
Why? What do you mean?
Like
he got it. He feels amazing. Now he's back. That's it.
No, like the like what the doctors say contradicts what other staff members say, and vice versa. They're constantly having to do this. We didn't want to talk about the oxygen because we wanted to stay positive. And well, we didn't, you know. And Mark Meadows was caught on mic, pulling together a couple of reporters and saying, "Okay, Mark Meadows is the Trump chief of staff."
Yeah.
He pulled a couple of reporters together and said, okay, I'm going to give this to you, but it's got to be anonymous. And then he directly contradicted what the doctor had just said. And it was at the press conference that he pulled these reporters aside.
What was the information?
I don't remember. You can look it up. But I mean,
it's just really funny because the questions were coming in. And I was listening to it. It was like this. When they were answering questions, you know, to the media today before he was discharged from the hospital, it was like, what did you see on the CT scans? Excuse me. What did you see on the CT scans? And what can you tell us about some of the imaging that was done? They were like, well, imaging is a little bit tough. I mean, the reality is that that's something where we've kind of drawn a line HIPAA-wise. We don't really want to talk about the imaging. It seems like it's a lot, way too personal. And it was like this. So you're telling me you are hiding what was found on those images. Is that what you're telling me? And I was like,
this is the information that we get from all the other presidents. I mean, you know, we get all this information out of the
since
on
when?
Other presidents.
When do we? No, we talk about their health like crazy, and somebody goes, "I don't even know why they have to tell me anything." I go, "Well, it's because it's the president, and we can kind of
exactly
know.
Why.
We can kind of know some stuff."
We've had presidents. We've had presidents. You know, need medical care in the past, and guess what? We get all the information.
Sure, but
it's fairly straightforward.
Like, there's some stuff
we don't have to go through this crazy.
What's his listed weight? What's his weight listed as? You know, and everybody's
but this is another example, though.
I did see he was listed, and I knew you were going to go nuts about this.
President Trump,
that they had listed him at 6'3", 244 pounds.
I mean, that's the stupidest fib.
Like his blood pressure is 119 over 62.
Yeah, and then his staff's like he's basically an Olympian. And it's like,
he said he's felt better than he's felt in 20 years. I was like, my dad is Trump's age.
This is the thing that drives me crazy. He's all, hey, don't be afraid. There's nothing to be afraid of. Okay, no one is over COVID in 3 days.
He's looked pretty good.
Alex, of all the people that we know.
I think his little Twitter videos, he's looked fine. He's looked good.
Who is over COVID in 3 days? Because guess what? If he's over COVID, he never had it.
The people that are over COVID in 3 days are the college athletes that we've interviewed.
They're not over
apparently,
I got
it. No, they are. They're like, I had like a fever, I guess, for one night, and then the next day I was back out partying again, dude. What Zach Wilson said. He was like, it's like a day of like kind of feeling like, ugh. And then after that, I was good. You're like, okay. But I think that's most of the 20-year-olds who get it and Donald Trump. So what's the deal? What's the big deal?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess there's no big deal. We all got tricked.
I just wanted to read off the height and weight stats that they gave on President Trump. And here you go, nuts.
It's so absurd.
You know what we need right now?
The Zen headline?
Ethan needs to feel a little bit
better
about
things. Why did you bring
this
up?
Just because it's
funny.
It was funny for me.
It's hilarious.
It made me.
You know what, though? At least KSL listeners are getting a different perspective on it. At least there's that.
What does that mean? What does that mean?
It doesn't mean anything.
Like the other host.
President Trump
like,
is 240 pounds. And he and Mike Lee together conquered coronavirus. None of us have to worry about it anymore. We did it, you guys.
Thoughts and prayers go out to White House Press Secretary Kalele Makanenene.
They castrated the virus. So now... it's dead now. It's basically dead now. The virus
prayed it away. Prayed it away, baby.
Just give it up.
All right. What, you have a Zen headline, don't you?
I do have a Zen headline.
Okay, what is it?
All right. Check this out. This was out of Gretna, Virginia. paying for another person's food. We've seen this before, right?
Oh,
where
yeah.
A person would drive through and say, hey, I want to pay for the
Have you ever had it happen to you?
No, I never
I
had.
Did. I had it one time at a Wendy's, and I was immediately...
Guilted into continuing?
Well, there was the thing where I was like... No, I was immediately upset that I had ordered like only $3.50 worth of stuff. I was like, gosh, because this person didn't want to feel
Why
dumb.
Why didn't you tell me at the sign?
And
the
then no
sign.
Joke. So somebody paid for my like, it was no joke. I remember it being like just over $4 or something. It was like $4.21. And the person behind me that I paid for was like $11.40. And I was like, I lost on this thing.
The math didn't work.
I lost on this thing.
The math is wrong.
It's fine. It's fine. But anyway, yeah, was there one of those happening here locally or something?
No. This is in Gretna, Virginia.
Oh, yeah. You told me that, yes.
Where a Friday night recently at a Dairy Queen. When was the last time were at a Dairy Queen?
Ooh, you know, not that long ago, yeah.
I remember the last time I was at a Dairy Queen. It was with you at the Gateway.
Was it really? Oh, yeah. My gosh.
Back when the Gateway had
that
the Dairy Queen.
And yeah.
I haven't been there since they had that.
And that was right around the same time you got sick from... Taco time in there.
Taco time, right? Too much taco time. And I row.
I think I got some dilly bars not 6 months ago from Dairy Queen. But go ahead.
From Dairy Queen.
Yeah, yeah.
A total of 256 people participated in this. Paid for the meal
Holy
of the person
cow.
Behind them.
What are you talking about? There's a drive-thru that has 256 people go through it every day?
Yeah. He said it started Friday at 7 a.m. And it lasted... well into
Hold
the
on,
afternoon.
What are people buying ice cream for at 7 a.m.? Give me an Oreo Blizzard. I got to get to work.
I don't know.
What is this?
Does Dairy Queen have...
I don't think they have a breakfast menu. I'm looking it up. Hold on. You keep talking. I'm going to look it up.
Oh, all right. Okay. You look it up.
I'll look it up.
I've never had a chance to do this, but I kind of hope that someday I do. I would enjoy this. I think I would think it was cool.
Yeah.
I would think it was cool.
Prepare to be disappointed. Prepare to be disappointed.
What?
Go in knowing that you're gonna lose. That you'll get your $4.50 worth of stuff and
when you said prepare to be disappointed, I thought you'd brought up the Dairy Queen breakfast menu.
Oh no, for sure, if that's a thing. Oh my gosh, hold on. Oh no, this isn't
prepare to be disappointed.
Ethan, I looked up this thing and it says Dairy Queen. The Big Breakfast. And
okay.
I'm like, what? Fluffy omelet eggs, omelet style egg. Oh, omelet style is not.
What
that
is
does
omelet
not mean,
style?
It means it's not an egg, probably.
You poured it out of a carton.
Served with hash browns, crispy chicken strips, fresh croissant.
Croissant.
Fruit, orange juice, and coffee. Here's the problem. The website is the DQ Bahrain. So I don't think we're getting the same thing. There's a freaking breakfast menu, dude. You can imagine what it is. It's like some bacon and some biscuits
sausage,
and gravy.
Sausage.
There's definitely a breakfast
sandwiches bowl.
It's got sausage gravy in that
Ooh,
thing.
What's in the breakfast bowl?
Let me read it off for you. You ready for this?
Is it cornflakes?
No, I got it right here. Breakfast bowl. Two eggs, two scrambled eggs, sausage, hash browns, cheese, grilled onions, your choice of gravy and salsa topped off with our famous, world-famous soft serve. So...
they top it off with the soft serve.
Yes,
sir,
yes.
Right on the top of there.
No, I added that last part in just because I thought there wouldn't be. There's no reason to go through the Dairy Queen parking lot unless you're going to get some. They have a hash brown platter. Well, bottom line is they have a Sunday. They have a breakfast menu. So there you go.
Well, they need a breakfast Sunday, so you stick it under there.
Yeah, I mean, look. Well, because you remember Orange Julius was like attached to some of these.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
right.
Yeah, yeah. I made
that's
biscuits right. and gravy on Sunday, by the way. Killer. Amazing.
Was it?
Oh, yeah. I'm so good at making biscuits right now. It's freaking ridiculous.
What? Well, all right.
No, I because people can't come over.
Put some in the mail for me.
So how long was the line then?
It was 270 people over the course of the day.
That's awesome. Who ended it? Who's that dirtbag? I need to do a full write-up on that guy.
I hope he's in jail.
Somebody pay for your meal ahead of you. Oh, cool. See you guys later. awesome. Thank you so much. We'll see you. We'll catch you later. But like you can't as the fast food worker though, you can't go. But everybody else is paying for them too.
You know they probably did. They were like, "Would you really want to break
going,
the street?"
It's been going 260 people all day, dude.
I'd refuse to serve them. If I worked at that Dairy Queen and some guy was like, awesome, sweet, free meal, I would say, get out. I would refuse to serve them.
Some,
I would say,
some Democrat getting a freebie, getting out of there. Come
on. I know. Socialist, man, coming through the line. I'd be like, sir, it's obvious you don't have shoes. So we're not going to serve you.
I'm not serving you. Excuse me, I'm in my car. It looks like your shirt's off, too. All right, well, we can't do this.
Get out. This guy's a pervert.
All right, Millard.
I'd for sure not do it. But I was thinking about it, though, the breakfast sundae.
Yeah.
You could do it with maple syrup.
Well, no, you could just do it with the gravy. you're saying like an actually like ice cream based situation?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Don't you do it with the syrup. No, but you do
you could do honey.
Right, you could do a maple flavored ice cream, like a maple flavored soft serve, and it's got some French toast sticks that are like stuffed in it. You know what I mean?
Right, right, and like granola or something.
Yeah, yeah. No, granola is going to ruin it. French toast sticks, maple soft serve, and then on the side,
crumbled sandies. That's how I would do it.
And on the side, a sleeve of Oreos. Like, that just comes with it.
Sandies are the best breakfast cookies.
Sandies. Those do need some milk with them. Holy cow.
Mm-hmm. Just shove them right in
the name. The name of the cookie is exactly what you're chewing on.
Mm-hmm. That's why you got to shove it into the ice cream to soften it up. Let it sit in there for a couple minutes. And by the time you get to it, you're like, oh, this is perfect.
Our associates have been sanding down your cookies all day as the dust to go around your breakfast martini bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Jeez.
Yeah.
Look, we should be fast food makers.
I've always thought that with the experience that you and I have with food,
we could come up with some menus.
That
we just
we could
did.
Come up with a restaurant idea.
Yeah, look, any idiot can go, oh, we'll make a breakfast sandwich, but it'll be donuts instead of regular buns. Who cares? But have you ever layered in one of those ham, think of a ham steak, but slice it thin. And that's the thing that lines the inside of the parfait bowl or the parfait cup. Then you hit it with the soft serve. Then you hit it with a little bit of that sausage gravy. Then the soft serve on top again.
Bacon
and then
crumbles.
Yes. Sandies. Stuff a sandy on the side of it. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, now that we've gotten totally inappropriate, I'm gonna go do my other radio show. Is that okay?
All right. Have a good night, man.
Okay. Hey, Ethan Millard on the other side of this thing. I'm Alex Keery, and we will be back again for another... when should we do this again, Ethan? Should we commit again to another one of these in the next 2 days here?
Now that
we know your
I'm
thing
available.
Connects pretty well.
I'll tell you when I'm available. Well, you know me. Kind of in the later afternoon is pretty good.
Me too. So why aren't we doing this every day?
Hey, I texted you the other day.
Did I ghost you?
Yeah, you kind of ghosted me. So I got the text up right here.
Hold on. What does it say?
This was...
Because you'll text me and go... I can record right now. And then sometimes I'm like in the middle of like our show prep and I'll look at it and 100% forget about it.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, I guess Ethan's schedule's the only one that matters. I've got it. Oh, this is what it says. Let's record today. That's what all of yours start with. Let's record right now. And I'm like, geez, dude. Anyway.
Hey, look, I'm a busy man. I fly to St. George.
Oh, my. All right. For Ethan Millard, I'm Alex Keery. Buy a stranger in front of you in line. Their next meal at the local Dairy Queen. Would you?
Start a movement. Go broke.
We'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.
Two years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.